Blog Talk Radio.
I have found a priceless treasure that the world can never give. I have found a precious Savior, and for Him alone I live.
God in the Midst, Get 'Em Radio presents Lunch with Lorraine, Discovering God's Hidden Treasures. Colossians 2, verse 3 says, in whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. The Word of God is a gold mine. If you enjoy mining for gold nuggets in the Word of God, this broadcast is for you. The Lord has gifted Dr. Lorraine Nabarro to uncover hidden treasures in the Bible that will delight you as he reveals a different perspective of his word. So get your pick and shovel, turn your mining hat light on, and let's dig into the Word of God.
I have found a priceless treasure that the world can never give. I have found a precious Savior, and for Him alone I live.
Hello and welcome to God in the Midst Radio. My name is Dr. Lorraine Nabarro, and this is Lunch with Lorraine, Discovering God's Hidden Treasures. We've been in a series of What's in a Name, looking at the names and titles of God in the scriptures and names in general. Where today we're going to be doing the Jehovah titles, part 3, I guess. Okay, let's open with a word of prayer. Gracious everlasting God, we are grateful for your love, for your protection, for your help. Thank you as we look into the scriptures. We see you clearly, and we understand your longing for the nature of the relationship you want with your people. Thank you, Father, for our time together in these scriptures. Put your blessing, put your spirit in it, in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I'll start with an apology because this is actually part 4. I apologize again. 1, 2, 3, and 4. Yeah, that's where we are. I'm even getting lost. Well, we had done 4 of them in the law, which is in Genesis and Exodus, and then we moved to the prophets. We have Judges, and we looked in Samuel last time, and now we're going to be looking in Jeremiah and Ezekiel. And so I think you kind of have the format by now. You understand what these are. We know him as Jehovah, my Lord, the immutable one, the one who was and is and is to come. We know him as that, but in a conjunction with that, there are 10 titles with Jehovah. We did Jehovah Jireh, which you know, Jehovah Rapha, Jehovah Nissi. Some of these are ones you've been familiar with. Some of them you may not be as familiar with. Jehovah Mekadishkim, Jehovah Shalom. And then last time we did Jehovah Zebawith. And today we're going to look at 2 more in the prophets. We've been kind of seeing as well how the context in which he reveals these, it's an unfolding as the children of the Lord are in the earth, and as things happen, we begin to see him more clearly. He unfolds his vision for us, which we understand. But to do that, he also unfolds. We get to know him a little better. Think of yourself as a child. You knew your mom as mommy, you know, and then you got a little older and you kind of got a little disgusted to be, oh, mother, you know. But you began to, as these relationships unfold, you see different parts of that relationship. They've always been that, but this is what he has longed to be to us. And so, you know, you can go back through and see the ones that we've done and where they've come from, what was going on, what he was trying to reveal. And the other thing we've seen, I was going to say, not just to them, to the children of Israel, but one of the things that, as we study this, I hope you see, there's a great deal of the prophetic in this. So many of these things are the image of the Messiah who was to come. You know, we started with Jehovah Jireh, the Lord sees, and when he sees, he provides. It was providing that sacrifice on the mountain so that Isaac was not offered up. I mean, he was offered up, but the Lord substituted the ram, and we see that same sacrifice of Jesus on the mountain, that we may all come back into relationship with God. We see it when the children of Israel came out of Egypt, and they were a mess, having lived in sin. You know, like that, the image of Egypt and coming into the promised land, although they wandered in the wilderness for a while. But that often is the image of our Christian walk. Ephesians 2 says that we were born in sin. We were dead in sin. And then the Lord healed us. Salvation is the nth form of healing, isn't it? It's being made whole. That's actually what salvation in Greek means. Sozo is healing. Sozo is actually the word from which we get salvation. But it means so many other things, not just, whew, squeaked out of here and we'll make it in the gate of heaven. It also means a healing in so many ways, to be made whole. And the end of healing is wholeness. When God heals somebody with like of a physical ailment, that's the minimum. He wants us to be made whole. Remember the woman with the issue of blood. First the blood stopped, it staunched, and then the disease was removed, and then Jesus looked at her and said, your faith has made you what? Whole. We know people who maybe their disease has stopped. You know, when cancer, doctors won't say you're healed or you're made whole. They'll say you're in remission, meaning the disease is not getting any worse, at least right now. But they don't ever say you're whole. Wholeness is so much more. The woman with the issue of blood wasn't whole until also her finances were restored and her relationships, which had suffered, were restored. Anyway, we saw also in Exodus that he was the covering, the banner over us. Amen? And then the sanctification, that sanctification, redemption, these things did not come with Calvary. We manifested them, but they have always been God's plan. And so we see even in Exodus that it is he, I am the Lord that sanctifies you. Amen. Remember, it talks about Abraham. Abraham was not a perfect man, but it says at the times of his ignorance, what? God winked at them, meaning, yeah, close enough. You remember when you were little and you were given a task to do, maybe set the table or make your bed, and your mom comes in and goes, oh, that's wonderful. And you look back now and you know it wasn't perfect, but she just kind of winked at it. That was close enough given your capacity, given your ability. God is also showing us long-term what his goal is. And in the calling of Gideon, right? The calling of Gideon, he was to send peace. We are the peace in this world. Why? Because Jesus was the peace in this world, wasn't he? He was the peace to those who were far off. He was peace to those that were close. He was that one that broke down that middle wall of partition. And because of it now, he said, I'm not taking you out of the world. I'm going to leave you here to do for others what I have done for you. So we are like Gideon. Not too good in our own right, but when he has filled us, Jehovah Shalom, the Lord will send peace. He sent peace through Gideon, but he sent peace through Jesus. He's sending peace into the world through us, which is not a passive thing. It's an active thing. Then last time, I apologize, for I can't keep track of my numbers, can I? Last time we saw Zebaeth, which was in Samuel. And that calls him Jehovah Zebaeth, which is the Lord of hosts. That is of all the armies, all of the forces, all the resources, heavenly and earthly. And we saw that that one appears so many times. I think I told you like 281 times. And it's that image of heaven and earth together. You know, the captain of the host, when Joshua came over that angelic being, and he was the captain of the host. What? The captain of the army. And then that was a heavenly army. But Joshua joined his earthly army. They marched around Jericho, didn't they? They marched around Jericho, and the walls fell down flat. They didn't come a-tumbling down. They fell down flat. All right, so we see that this progression, because now he's leading them out of captivity and into their promised land. But there are battles. There are for us to occupy that. Well, you, I hope, know in your own Christian life, God gave you salvation. We know the promised land is ours, but I don't know about you, but I've had some battles over my lifetime to be able to walk in and to inhabit what he has for me in this earth. Amen? So now we're going to look at the next two that are in the prophets. And I told you the first one will be in Jeremiah. And this one we'll look at a couple of different places. Okay, Jeremiah. I'm sorry, I'm flipped to the wrong book. Jeremiah, we're going to look at chapter 23. And this is when Jeremiah is one of the prophets. Chapter 23 starts, "Woe be unto the pastors that destroy and scatter the sheep of my pasture, saith the Lord." All right? So we know that Jeremiah's got some woes going on to the children of Israel. Okay, now, but we're going to skip on down here. We aren't going to read all of his woes. Woe, woe, woe. Skip on down to, let's pick up about verse 4. Okay? About verse 4. And he says, "I will set up shepherds over them, which shall feed them." Hear that one? Well, let's back up again to 3. "I will gather the remnant of my flock out of all countries." Now, so again, we see this was what was going on at the time, and God was revealing himself as this part of his nature. But it also is yet what is future to come. And I'm sure you understand both of those things going on, that many, many, many of these pictures, while they were genuine, they also are a foreshadowing or a template of what was to come. Okay, verse 3, "I will gather the remnant of my flock out of all countries whither I have driven them, and will bring them again to the folds, and they shall be fruitful and increase." Listen to these great words. You know, you can read a lot of Jeremiah about the woes, but listen to what he's promising. And this is right as we're going to introduce this next Jehovah title. Okay. "We will be fruitful and increase." Verse 4, he says, "I will set up shepherds over them, which shall" what? "Feed them, and they shall fear no more." Whew. "And nor be dismayed." Okay, so you remember the angels, whenever they appear to man, will always say, "Fear not." Fear is just, unfortunately, a fundamental nature of our life in this earth that has not yet been completely redeemed. So we will feed us, will be no fear, and also we will not be dismayed. I don't know about you, I'm not so sure I fear much. But I get dismayed. You know, it's easy to look around and become discouraged and so on. But there will be, they will have plenty. They'll be fruitful. They'll increase. He'll feed them. They'll fear no more, nor be dismayed. Now look at this. "Neither shall they be lacking, saith the Lord." Okay. "Behold," now we get to some little prophetic stuff here. "The days come, saith the Lord, that I will raise unto David a righteous branch, and king shall reign and prosper and shall execute judgment and justice in the earth. Now, we know this began, but we all know this is the Lord. This is the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the branch. He is the king. Yet even it is still prophetic coming forward because that has not been completely executed, has it? In Jeremiah's day, they saw the Lord coming with these for them. But then we also know that when Jesus came, we began to see this. But it will not be full until he returns as what? King of kings and Lord of lords. All right. But he's prophesying. Now, I want you to understand these Jehovah titles are not just history. They are history and they are prophecy. And they are personal and they are general. They apply to all humanity, but they apply to me, just me. All right. Behold, the day comes, saith the Lord, that I will raise unto David a righteous branch, and a king shall reign and prosper and shall execute judgment and justice in the earth. Amen. We so much of the time think about the prosperity, but I think it's also time we really need to understand, and I think people do, how we need judgment and justice in the earth. Okay, verse 6. In his days, now this is all in caps, so you can't miss this one. In his days, Judah shall be saved, and Israel shall dwell safely. And this is his name, whereby he shall be called. And that is Jehovah Zedkenu. Jehovah Zedkenu, the Lord our righteousness. And you can even see it off if you got one of them that has little margins, just in case you think I made it up. Jehovah Zedkenu, okay? And all of these things that we've read, they are tied to that name, okay? When he refers to himself as Jehovah Zedkenu, the Lord, our righteousness, all these blessings come with our righteousness. Therefore, behold, the day shall come, saith the Lord, that they shall no more say, the Lord liveth, which brought us children out of land of Egypt, but the Lord liveth, which is for now. Okay, so I hope you see that. Jehovah Zedkenu. So some of them, of course, they've been kind of hidden. When we said, you know, the Lord that heals you, it was just, if you were just reading your little English text, you may miss it. This one, while it may not have the Hebrew and it may not say Jehovah Zedkenu, boy, it's in big caps and you can see this is his name. And he says, and this is his name whereby he shall be called. Not just Jehovah. There are people who get into denominations where, oh, it's just Jehovah, and you can't refer to him as the creator, Elohim, or my Savior. Only Jehovah. Well, even he says, my name is, we shall call him Jehovah Zedkenu. That is the Lord, our righteousness. I want to turn to another place, because I want us to see this continuing. Remember the others, we looked at one. Well, the last time I told you there was oodles of them. So we're still in Jeremiah, but we're going to turn over to chapter 33. And, okay, this is still that same vein, if you will. Jeremiah chapter 33, I'm going to back up. I was going to back up to 15. But I'm going to back up to 14. Behold, the day comes, saith the Lord. Again, we're looking. This is that prophetic word. This is, we saw the Lord reveal himself by his titles in the law, which is Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. But now we also see it in the prophets. Jeremiah is obviously, you know, Judges, who are the prophets, the books of Samuel or Kings. Kings 1, 2, 3, and 4 are part of that because Samuel obviously was a prophet. And this is Jeremiah who was a prophet. So we're going to 14. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will perform that good thing which I have promised unto the house of Israel and to the house of Judah. Verse 15, in those days and at the time will I cause the branch of righteousness to grow unto David. Now again, we see that thing of the branch, but it's also the branch of what? Righteousness to grow unto David, and he shall execute judgment and righteousness in the land. So that's almost, you know, duplication of what he said. Now look at 16. In those days shall Judah be saved, and Jerusalem shall dwell safely. Again, those things that are part of that promise. And this is the name whereby she shall be called, the Jehovah Zedkenu, the Lord our righteousness. For thus saith the Lord, David shall never want a man to sit upon the throne of the house of Israel. It means they'll never be short of one. They'll never be lacking one, because we know with Jesus, he sat down at the right hand of God. He is seated in the heavenlies. And that throne is the throne of David on earth and the throne in heaven. Neither shall the priests, the Levites, want a man before me to offer burnt offerings. Why? Because he was the offering too, wasn't he? And to kindle meat offerings and to do sacrifice continually. In other words, having performed it once, that was done. That was the cessation of those sacrifices. So you can see very, very plainly out of Jeremiah. I hope this one excites you, because this one, while it was talking to them about how the Lord was revealing himself at the time, what he's going to do for his children of Israel in the land, he also is profoundly prophetic about that which was coming. So that's why we want to hold on to Jehovah Zedkenu, because that's that promise of him as the king on the throne of David, the branch who will bring justice and judgment in the earth, who will bring plenty where there will be no fear, there'll be no dismay, there will be safety, and there will be plenty. So all these things are tied up with Jehovah Zedkenu. So for some of you, that may now become your favorite one. It's a good one. Every time we have another one, we go, ooh, I like that one. Ooh, I like this one. So that one is pretty, pretty big. But now we're going to move on for a few minutes to what I have to confess is my favorite. If I have a default name, it's this. So we see this, the power of this Jehovah Zedkenu title. But now we're going to go on again, the last one in the book of, or in the book, excuse me, in the, among the prophets. And that is in Ezekiel. we know Ezekiel is the prophet's prophet. There's no doubt about it. And Ezekiel's book, and there's chapters upon chapters, over 40, almost 50 chapters, that of his prophetic vision, the dreams he had, the judgment that came with them. I mean, you know, if you want to scare yourself, the book of Ezekiel, although there's a lot of wonderful things there. You know, I just turned to like the parable of the boiling pot. There are just so many great things in Ezekiel. For a lot of people, Ezekiel's a little bit hard to understand, but we're going to look at it, because the most powerful thing about this next one, not just where it is, but that it ends the book of Ezekiel. The book of Ezekiel, of course, carries his vision. But about, I'll say maybe verse 47, or chapter 47, maybe even backing it up, 45, 46, which talks about the ordinances connected to the land. Well, maybe even goes before that. I'm trying to remember where it starts, because it talks about the ordinances and it talks about the gates and it talks about the regulations for the priests. So this is an integral time, part of them setting up in this land, in this land of promise. And the one thing about in the land of promise, besides the ordinances, he made a division of land. Up until this, in the spirit, they had been what? Nomadic people. They had been traveling from place to place. The whole point of the promised land, and we know that this happened earlier when they had finally put down all of the enemies, and this was when they crossed over the Jordan, and I think it was Joshua divided up the land for the people, but a lot of stuff goes on. So we're now back to this. The end of Ezekiel talks about the individual tribes, the individual people, and it talks about where they are to settle. It talks about the ordinances for their lives, but it talks about a division of the land. It talks about coming into the land, having your part. See, I don't know if you've ever felt like that, but maybe, you know, when you're young, you kind of traveled around or moved around, and maybe you were somebody who always rented, and then one day you got to buy your own house. It doesn't matter how small it is. It's your piece of land. It means something different to you, doesn't it? Not everybody's in that point. That's okay, but I think you can kind of understand what I mean by that. As long as we're fluid, we all need to have a place where we belong. And it may not be owning land, but we need to have a home. We need to have some place where we belong. And this is what's going on in Ezekiel. At the very end of this book, he's giving the land, dividing it up. He divides the land for the sanctuaries, for the princes, you know, and he goes on and on. And so if you want to take time to read upon this, it's a good thing. And what, because they're in their land, what's required of them? They're given land, but here are the requirements of the ordinances you must follow. So now we're down to about chapter 46, and they're still dividing up the land and still giving the ordinances of the sacrifices. Amen. We're no longer children. Remember when they first went on the wilderness path, didn't they? The Lord fed them by manna, didn't he? He fed them miraculously. One of my favorite places, and I don't think I've taught it, I've referred to it a couple of times, where the captain of the host appears before Joshua. But there's another part where it says, you know, that night they sanctified themselves, they separated themselves, they made themselves holy. And it says, and on the morrow, the manna ceased. While manna is a good thing to be fed by the hand of the Lord, they wanted to have their own land where they could raise their own crops, their own vineyards. You know, it's grace is good, but there's something where we want to live even beyond that, if I may say it, you know. And so that happened there. And on the morrow, the manna ceased. So this is kind of also talking like in that vein, where the land is being divvied up and God is apportioning it to certain people. He's giving them the ordinances of, now this is your land. Here's what you need to do. Here are the sacrifices you need to perform. Here's, you know, we're no longer babies. We're no longer children. We need to be responsible for what he's given us. You prepare a burnt offering daily unto the Lord of a lamb of the first year without blemish. I shall prepare every morning. I shall prepare a meat offering. You know, and it goes on and on. I mean, you see what I'm saying? I'm just dipping into someplace. As I said, the Lord God, if a prince give a gift to any of his sons, the inheritance thereof shall be his sons. It shall be their possession by inheritance. But if he gives a gift of his inheritance to one of his servants, then it shall be his to the year of liberty. After that, it shall return to the prince. So he's telling you how you do with all this land, how you conduct yourself, and who ends up owning it. It's a very powerful thing when you just stop. I know I'm taking time on it, but I want you to stop and think what it means to come into your own. Maybe there's something else. Maybe you always worked for somebody, and then you got your own business. I know a guy that, you know, had lots of issues, et cetera, et cetera. But he came to a town, and his sister supported him a bit. But he started his own business, and it was just with a lawnmower and a leaf blower. But he started it, and then he grew, and then he bought more equipment, and he hired people. There's a way we conduct ourselves when we're working for somebody else, and we should always treat them well. But there's something else when it's yours, you know. There are people who raise other people's children, teachers or nannies. But when they're your children, there's a little bit of a difference in your whole mindset. So this is what he's also saying. This land is divided out. It is your inheritance. It's your heritage. And here are ways you conduct yourself. So this is a meaningful and powerful event. We don't talk about it much. See, part of the reason I wanted to show these is that every place one of these titles originates, it's very meaningful. It's very significant. And sometimes we have focused on minor things, we've missed what really are major things. This was a time of incredible import, the incredible, powerful significance for the children of Israel. And so in Ezekiel, there's this division and this direction, and they're given, the borders are here, and if you know anything about scriptures, it's there. Borders are very powerful and important thing. Okay, I've said enough because I want you to take it very, very, very seriously. This is not a light thing. Anyway, so now we are at the end of it, and this is, you know, the very last chapter. He starts talking about, let me just pick it up somewhere over. Verse 22, moreover, from the possession of the Levites, from the possession of the city, being in the midst of which is the princes, between the border of Judah and the border of Benjamin shall be for the prince, and for the rest of the tribe from east unto the west of Benjamin, and by the border of Benjamin from the east side to the west side, Simeon. Now, this is kind of boring unless your name is Simeon or Benjamin. Then your ears perk up, you know. It's like if you were some lawyers and they're reading a will, last will and testament of somebody. And it just seems like a bunch of jumble until your name is mentioned. And it's like, what? What am I getting? You know. So this is important. God promised them hundreds of years earlier, promised land, maybe even more than that, maybe thousands. Remember, Abraham walked and he said that everywhere the sole of your foot touches, that will be an inheritance for your people. And then they entered it, and then they were taken away in captivity, and this and that happened, and on and on and on. But here in Ezekiel, there is this division, and from this point on, whether they're there or they're not there, that's their possession. Amen? From that point on, there may be squatters, but okay. Verse 27, the border of Zebulun to the east side west of Gad, by the border of Gad, the south side southward, the border be given from Tamar, my gal, the mother of breakthrough, the waters of strife in Kedesh to the river toward the great sea. This is the land which ye shall divide by lot under the tribes of Israel for inheritance, and these are their portions, saith the Lord God. And we always talk about the Lord is my portion. Some people refer to him that way. You know, he's my, well, what does that mean? Verse 30, and these are the going out of the city of the north. So he continues on down. Verse 33, south side, 4,500 measures, three gates, one gate of Simeon, one gate of Issachar, one gate of Zebulun. Verse 34, and at the west side, 4,500 with their three gates, one gate of Gad, one gate of Asher, and one gate of Naphtali. All right? And those are all names. We get that. But look at verse 35, the very last statement in the book of Ezekiel. And it was round about 18,000 measures, and the name of the city from that day shall be the Lord is there. Okay, we kind of missed that out, don't we? But if you've got even just a little old King James with little side notes, little margin notes, you know, this isn't some big deep Hebrew study. What do you see? Jehovah Shema. The Lord is there. You know how we always talk about Jerusalem, and we say, you know, that the Lord inhabits the temple, you know, and they would always worship toward the temple because they knew that's where the Lord was. Here we are in these divisions in this city, and he says, and you read it with the way it isn't just the Lord is there, it's and the name of the city, again, the name of the city from that day, Jehovah Shema. Jehovah Shema. This is the eighth title, Jehovah title. Jehovah Shema, and it is the Lord is there. Jehovah is there. That's why it's my favorite one, because wherever I am, if I get discouraged, if I get afraid, if I get angry, whatever, I just take a deep breath and I go, Jehovah Shema, the Lord is there. There where? Wherever I am, he's there. Amen. And sometimes that's all I need. I don't need a big display of his power. I don't need a big prophetic word. It's in me. It's in me. He's in me. Therefore, all I need to know is he's there. If I'm there, he's there. And if he's there, it's going to be okay. You know, it's going to be fine. The Lord is there. Jehovah Shema. Now, I want to look at it just a little bit further as we look at this. What is God showing us about himself other than obviously he's there? It's like, you know, Jehovah Rapha, the Lord heals. Yes, we know the Lord heals. The Lord, you know, the Lord is my healer. But when we begin to understand the depth of what that means, the Lord is my healer, he revealed that about himself. What he's revealing here is he is Jehovah Shema. The Lord is there. There where? In this land, as he's dividing it, and the name of that city, we will always remember that. He is, remember, the king, and the king needs a kingdom. You aren't a king if you don't have a kingdom. You may be royal, you may be an heir, you may be any number of things, but you have to have a kingdom to be a king. What dumb, dominion. The dominion of the king is the kingdom. And so the Lord Jesus will come back to this earth and establish his kingdom on the earth. Amen. He's the king of my heart, but his earthly dominion has not started yet. And so this very much talks about the earth. Remember, they're dividing up land. Him being the king, it is very much the earthly. We know he is the Lord, but he is Jehovah Shema. He is the Lord of this place. And that's what, you know, we see that imagery, you know, the Lord coming with 10,000 of his angels and 10,000 of his saints. Okay. But remember again how this points. Remember when we looked at names at the very, very beginning and the names of Jesus and the Lord in the New Testament. And remember before he was born, they were told his name should be Emmanuel, which is what? God with us. That means he was born into this earth. He put on flesh and dwelt or tabernacled among us. Amen. Emmanuel, the Lord is with us. And that is exactly what this is. Jehovah Shema talks about the king in his earthly kingdom. And so there's also that promise. Yes, it's true, but it's also yet to come. And we're familiar with that in scripture, that it's true now, and yet it is also still to come. Amen. So next time, we are going to look at the remaining two. And I'm excited about that because we got a couple of curves to teach you on that one. So far we have covered 8 of the 10 Jehovah titles. And I hope even if you knew them, just by pausing and studying them and thinking about them, that it has broadened your heart or deepened your understanding. He is Jehovah Zedkenu. He is the Lord of righteousness. Amen. And he is Jehovah Shema. The Lord is there. There where? There. Wherever you look, it's there. And that's where he is. He is Jehovah Shema. Like I said, I shouldn't have favorites, but that one's my favorite. But whichever one I need at the moment, that's the one. That's why, you know, when it talks about in Corinthians 13, the last verse before that says, you know, covet earnestly the best gifts, yet I show to you a more excellent way. Well, what's the best gift? Is speaking tongues the best gift, or is working a miracle the best gift? Well, the answer is very simple. It's which one do you need? You know, if you need healing, then prophetic word in what you want. You know what I mean? If you have If you've got great healing power, but what you need is a miracle, then that's not what you want, or you need faith. So whichever is the greater gifting, which is the greatest manifestation of the Spirit, is the one that you need right then and there. Amen. It's the one that you need. And so of these 10 titles, the Lord has revealed so much more about himself. We knew his name was Jehovah, but he has revealed about himself. He has revealed to us that he is our provider, that he is our healer, that he is our covering, that he is the sanctifier, that he is the peace, that he is the host, the head of the armies, that he is surely our righteousness, and that he is Jehovah Shema, the Lord that is there. I hope you've enjoyed this. We've got one more session next time to finish off the 10. I hope this has been helpful, or at least thought-provoking for you, and I hope that you enjoyed it. I'm looking forward to being with you again next week, where we will round it off and put the cherry on top. Have the best week you have ever had. Let's pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, we are thank you that you always reveal yourself to us. We don't have to imagine, do you think he's like this? Do you think he's like that? When the time comes, you show us who you are. You show yourself strong when we need your strength. You show yourself loving when we need love. You show yourself as a comfort when our hearts are disturbed. You told us, Father, that you give us beauty for ashes, that you give us joy for mourning. You are whatever we need because you are the immutable one. Thank you, Father, for spending this time with us and caring about us enough that you show us who you are, that we may love you the more. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Have a great week. Looking forward to being with you next time. God bless.
I have found a priceless treasure that the world can never give. I have found a precious Savior, and for him alone I live.
Thank you for joining God in the Midst, Get 'Em Radio's Lunch with Lorraine, Discovering God's Hidden Treasures. Enjoy the entire family of Get 'Em Radio broadcasts by calling 516-418-5699. That's 516-418-5699. Now, mark your calendars and set your cell phone alarms. Lunch with Lorraine, Discovering God's Hidden Treasures, is aired every Monday at lunchtime, 12 noon Central, 1 p.m. Eastern. Prophetic Healing with the Healing Community is on the second Wednesday of every month, 8 p.m. Central, 9 p.m. Eastern. And the Thursday edition of God in the Midst airs every Thursday at 9 p.m. Central, 10 p.m. Eastern. Once again, you can listen to all these broadcasts as they air by calling 516-418-5699. When you have an opportunity, Google Get 'Em Radio. That's GITM Radio. And listen to this broadcast in its entirety, as well as all of Get 'Em Radio's on-demand podcast. As you listen to our podcast, click the follow button and you will get a reminder via email of all our upcoming episodes. You may contact us at getemradio@gmail.com or call us at area code 314-325-9986. We'd love to hear from you. Also, meet us on Facebook at God in the Midst, and like us because we like you too. Have a blessed rest of the day.
I have found a priceless treasure that the world can never give. I have found a precious Savior, and for Him alone I live.